All right, this is part, actually, this is part four of God's Given Us Power. And I'm going to go back and just kind of pick up from last week and just kind of go through it real quick and then pick up where I left off. Amen. We already talked about this. Now we're talking about what the power of God, what God's power does for us. Now we've talked about that that power has been given to us. We've talked about the fact that this is God's power, but that God has given it unto us also in the sense of by the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen. And these are the things, as I get into this, these are the things that that power will do for you. And what you need to understand is, if this says that this power does this for you, you need to know that this is something you can call that power on in order to accomplish for you personally. Amen. And I want you to be clear on that, to understand that clearly. That God has given us His power to do some very specific, very powerful things in our lives. Amen. And as we started on last week, we talked about this. The first one was, you know, that it puts all principality, power, might, dominion under our feet. Amen. Okay, and then we got into how it strengthens us. Now, coming back up here for a second, when I say principality, power, might, and dominion, I'm talking about in all the spiritual places and all the demonic forces, everything. There is not anything that is not under our feet. And remember, the feet is in His body. We're the body of Christ, all right? So whatever's been put under His feet has been put under our feet by the power of God. And so principality, power, might, and dominion are the first ones. The second one is that that power was given to us to strengthen us with all might for all patience and long-suffering with joy. In other words, you know, a lot of times we face trials, people, and in that trial, we're facing it out of our own strength. And God's never called you to face that trial out of your own strength. You know, Eva brought up in the prophecy, she brought up Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what the verse says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the word strengthens there is actually the word endunamu in the Greek. I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. So whether he's, you know, full or he's needing, you know, whether he abounds or he suffers, it doesn't matter. He can do it all because God is empowering him. And so that's what God wants us to understand, is that you're not meant to face trials and tribulations out of your own strength. And I really believe that's one reason why people give in to trials and let them just overwhelm them, is because they're attempting to make these stands out of their own strength. And God's never called you to make that stand out of your own strength. He's promised to give you power. He's promised to strengthen you, to enable you with His power, with His strength, His might, which is that word dunamis, so that you are able to stand in patience, which is hupomone. And we know that if we let patience have its perfect work, you know, we'll be perfect, entire, lacking nothing. And entire means whole. It's the word holoclerus, which means physically whole and healthy and not lacking in anything. And so we need to understand that God has empowered us. He's given us His power in order for us in order for us to walk, to have that patience and that long suffering and that ability to withstand persecution and antagonism from people, to be able to walk in love. All right, that's what long suffering is, that macrothumia. Now, I got into this in depth last week. I'm not going to go any further on this, but I wanted to just kind of add to that, make sure you guys get it. The third thing that God's power does for us is that it's His grace covering and compensating for our weaknesses. Remember, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, my power is made perfect in weakness. Amen. And of course, the word strength is the word dunamis. My power is made perfect in weakness. So God's given us His power to cover our weaknesses so that we can set out and do what He's called us to do, so that we can live a life of power, live a life of strength, and not have to quit because of our weaknesses. We can push past our weaknesses and let His strength, let Him to be able to overshadow our infirmities, our weaknesses, you know, so that we can move forward and do what He's called us to do, to live the way He's called us to live. Amen. So that's where I left off last week. This week, I'm going to pick up on number four, and this is out of 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12. And the verse says, therefore, we also pray always for you. that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. The work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that? He wants God. See, God's calling us to something, people. And that's, this verse is kind of interesting that way, because in as much as it's clear, you have to kind of work around the way that Paul, the way that he phrases this. He says, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy. And that count you worthy there is the word axio, and it means to deem entitled or fit. In other words, this is not something that's automatic, people. There's a calling that God has called us to. And Paul has made the statement. He says, you know, I pray always for you that God would count you worthy of this calling. That he would count you worthy of this calling. And that word calling there is the word klesis. And in the Greek, it means an invitation. God's inviting us to something. He's inviting us to a walk with him that's in a way to experience both his good pleasure, the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. We've been called to that. But you know what? Paul said there, he goes, I pray that God would count you worthy. You know, and just because God wants us to go there, it's not automatic. This is something that we will need to set ourselves towards, probably the best way to do it. Because if you don't really care about walking in the good pleasure of his goodness, if you don't really care about living by faith and walking by faith in your life, then you're not going to be counted fit for this. You won't be entitled to this invitation. And a lot of people think, well, if God's going to do it, he's going to do it. No, there's a part that we play in all of this. There's something that's required on our part. You know, God's reminding me of Stephen. You know, back in Acts chapter 6, when they picked the seven people that were going to, you know, that they were going to give responsibility to in order to divide up for the widows, you know, that were being denied, to make sure everybody was getting fairly and equally treated and that they were getting fed and getting taken care of. And it talks about Stephen, a man full of faith and power, who went about doing signs and wonders at the tables amongst the people. He did signs and wonders. And it's like some people would sit there and say, well, yeah, God just called him and God just blessed him. No, what if God's calling all of us, but yet Stephen was the one that took the calling and began to believe that God could do these things through him? See, if you don't believe that God can do these things through you, it's never going to happen. If you think it only happens through the pastors, or if it happens through some specially, you know, super spiritual Christian or believer, you're never going to walk in these things. You've got to believe that just as God has given you his power to cover your weakness, to take care of you in your weakness, that he's also inviting you to walk in that benefit of his power in the way that he wants to do it in your life. And it's on us, people. That invitation is put out there, but it's on us to walk in his pleasure and the pleasure of his goodness and in the work of faith with power. And look at what God's inviting us to. He wants to fulfill. And the word fulfill there is the word plero, and it means, and that's the verb form, he wants to cause to abound, to furnish, to supply liberally. Wow, that's awesome. To supply liberally all. You need to say the word all there. God's not limiting this. He's not limiting this to just, you know, occasional, ever once in a while. He wants to fulfill and make available to abound in your life and to supply liberally to you, to furnish to you liberally all his good pleasure. All the good pleasure. And the good pleasure there is one word. It's the word eudokia. And it means satisfaction, delight. Objectively, it means kindness, wish, or purpose. He wants to fulfill all the satisfaction of his goodness, the delight of his goodness, the kindness of his goodness. I mean, That's showing God's goodness shows his kindness. It shows his desire for us, his wish. And it's his purpose for us to walk in his goodness. But God is calling us to this people for him to fulfill all the good pleasure, you know, the satisfaction of his goodness. And of course, the word goodness there is the word agathosune, and it means goodness. It means virtue, which is his integrity, his beneficence, which is his kindness and generosity. God wants to unload his generosity, his goodness on us. I mean, that's a calling that God is calling us to. Amen? And it's not just by itself, and the work of faith with power. Because some of this is going to require faith to walk in, people. And God wants you to walk in the work of faith. Now, the work of faith is mentioned a couple of times in the New Testament by Paul. The work of faith. And the work, that word work there is the word ergon. And vines denotes that it means work, employment, or task. It could be a deed or an act. And so I would look at this as the work of faith as being the employment of faith. Living by faith, walking in faith, you know, getting to the point where you're getting up in the morning by faith. You're going to bed at night by faith. You go to work by faith. You do your work by faith. You eat your food by faith. You live your life by faith. Everything that you set yourself to do, you're doing, you're walking in God's promises by faith. Because that's what faith is for, is to bring about God's promises, to bring about what he's done for us through Jesus. Jesus washed us of our sins. It takes faith to receive that. He also redeemed us from the curse of the law. It takes faith to walk in that. And then there's these promises, great and precious promises that he's given to us. It takes faith to walk in those. God's given us covenant. It takes faith to walk in that. He's given us life. It takes faith to walk in that. And so we need to get to the point where we're living that. Our employment, you know, our work, the thing that we give ourselves to on a daily basis becomes more about faith than it does even about going out and working our jobs. Amen? I mean, what happens if they lay you off? What are you going to do then? Are you going to wait until something like that happens to start using your faith? Or are you going to live your faith day by day? To the point where they either can't do that, or if they do it, you have something already waiting in the wings for you. That it's just immediate. I remember when I was younger, man. I would have to move, or I would have to, things would happen at work, and it just, you know, it was time to go. One of those things. And I never went more than a week without getting a job. And always the pay was either the same or better. God always took care of us. And I began to move up and grow. In that progression of blessing from God, his goodness was being shown to us all the time. Amen. And I lived that. I didn't walk around to, you know, God, you got to give me this job within a week. No, I just had an expectation that when it came time to move, I would have another job. I just expected that. I walked in faith in that. Amen. And we moved a lot, and sometimes from city to city, and I would have to change jobs. And so as a result, I would trust God. Within a week, it was just, God was awesome, man. My last job that I had to leave, I couldn't do it anymore. It was construction. I just couldn't physically do it anymore. I was 51 at the time. Within a week, God told me, he says, I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He goes, you already got skills. Why don't you go look for a job that's based on those skills? So I did. The next morning, I got up, I went through and I did research, found out where I could go sign up to get hired on. And I got hired within a week. I was working at the company I work at now. And I'm here still 18 years later. God takes care of us, people. He's faithful that way. Amen. All right. So the power of God, he says, the work of faith with power. And the word power there is the word dunamis. And that means force. In other words, God wants measurable force behind your faith to push what you're believing for to get it done. I mean, you know, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, power went out in his words. His disciples didn't even notice anything. They went on into Jerusalem. They came back that day. They got up the next morning, and when they walked past the tree, it was shriveled up. And they said, "Lord, the tree that you cursed is withered away." And then Jesus said, "Have faith in God," and he taught the great teaching on faith. Whoever says this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. I mean, he began his teaching off of that. Jesus spoke his words, and his words had power behind them. And that's what God wants. That's what he wants to get us to that place where when we speak out our faith, you know, there's power in our words. You don't have to feel it, but you'll see the results of it. And you'll see it almost in miraculous ways. And that word dunamis means force, literally or figuratively. This is Strong's definition. But specifically, it means miraculous power. And then also, you know, in Strong's, that I didn't put it here, it could also mean a miracle itself. There it defines it as strength, power, ability, power for performing miracles. You know, why is it, you know, when you sit down and think about this for a second, why is it that it, and I'm not, this is not me talking, this is me being maybe like one of you, all right? Why is it that when I pray, nothing seems to happen? You know, I want to walk in that power. Well, you know, this is what I'm getting to, people. These are the things that power will do. And I'm going to show you how to walk in that power. But you need to start here and start believing that this is something you can have. This is something you can walk in. You can have the kind of faith that has force to it, that makes things happen. Amen. To fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work, the activity, the deed, the working of his faith with power. God wants your faith to work with power. You either believe it or you don't. If you don't believe it, well, you know, I'm sorry. None of this is going to work for you. But if you dare to believe this, you're going to start seeing some differences and changes in your faith and how your faith will begin to work. Amen. You'll start to see things come to pass and you'll go, "Oh my gosh, Father, look at that. That's so awesome." And I mean, things will begin to happen sooner. They'll begin to happen, you know, there'll be more effectively, you know, it won't grind out on you. Amen. God wants your faith to work with power, people. But it's up to you to believe that that can be yours. The next thing that power is meant to do for us is that it keeps us through faith for the manifested salvation that awaits us. 1 Peter 1:3-5. This is intense because this is more about where we end up, not about what we get in this lifetime or what we're doing in this lifetime or what this power does for us in this lifetime. It's about where we end up. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Who, look at what it says. It says, God has reserved, look at it, says, "who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So we've been begotten again to a living hope. If you're living in a depressed state right now, people, you've lost sight of your hope in Christ. You've lost sight of the living hope that we have in Christ. 4, and this is the part that you got to get, "to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." 5, "who are kept by the power of God." And that word "kept" there is the word phroreo. And it means to be a watcher in advance, to mount guard as a sentinel, to hem in and protect. Who are kept and protected, who are watched over by the power of God. Man, do you get that? Some of you are starting to question whether or not you're going to make it to heaven, dude. You're kept by the power of God. You're protected by the very power, dunamis, of God. His force, his strength, his power, his ability. You're kept, you're guarded by the power of God through faith. The only thing that we have to hold on to and maintain in all of this, people, is our faith. But it's done through faith. The word through there is that word dia again, denoting the channel of an act. Through. In other words, God's power keeps us when we live and walk by faith in His Word. When we walk by faith in His promises. When we walk by faith in our destiny, in our home in heaven, in our inheritance that's awaiting for us in heaven. That inheritance is twofold for me. It might be threefold, but I'm going to say it's twofold. That inheritance, number one, it's our resurrected body. Number two, it's our eternal home. You know, the city, the new Jerusalem. It's what's waiting for us. That being together with God in forever, where God moves out of His situation and moves in with us. I mean, imagine that throne in the middle of that plaza. That can hold, what, 600-700 billion people? Think about that. That's where God sits, is there. If He gets up and moves around, He's moving around amongst His people. And we'll be able to walk in His presence. We'll be able to draw close to Him, to hug Him, to love on Him. Why? Because we have resurrected bodies, the kind of bodies like Jesus has, that we'll be able to facilitate the power of God, His glory, and none of it can hurt us. It feeds us on a regular basis. We just draw from His life. That's my inheritance. I don't know about what you're getting out of this, but I know what I'm getting. Glory to God. But we're kept. We're protected by the power of God. That dunamis again. Through faith. In other words, this is not automatic, people. It's up to us to believe that God is protecting us by His power. It's up to us to believe that we are going to end well and we're going to be there with Him at the end of all of this. That we're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. And the word for there is actually, because the word for salvation kind of implies, you know, that it's the reason why God's doing it. But this is not what it's really saying in the Greek. You know, it's really the word eis there in the Greek. And it means to or into or unto salvation. In other words, that we are kept by the power of God through faith into that salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What is that salvation? It's our inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. It's the end result of what we become. It's who we become joined together with forever. Amen. Salvation, which is the ultimate of rescue and safety. And it's ready. Look at. God's already got it ready. He already has our salvation. He already has our inheritance. He already has everything already set up. It's all ready for us. It's ready for us. And the word ready there is the word hetoimos, which means to prepare, make ready, or ready at hand. There should be a comma after the word prepare there, but you get it. It's prepare or ready. That it's been prepared for us. It's ready. It's prepared. All right. It's at hand for us. It's already there. He ain't waiting around to the last minute. God's got it already. He's just waiting until that one thing that He's waiting on is done. And then bam, it's over with. You know, we're gone. We're with Jesus. And He says, ready to be revealed. And the word revealed there is the word apokalupto. And that means, and that's the word we get apocalypse from. And we also, that's the word that's used for revelation. Amen. Apokalupto, to uncover, to lay open what has been veiled or covered up, to make manifest. He's ready. He's prepared to unveil it to us. To unwrap it for us, to open it up to us so that we can have it. And He says, ready to be revealed in their last time. Last is the word eschatos, which means the farthest or final place. And it's speaking of place or time. At the farthest place of time, God will have it ready for us. When he's ready to shut this thing down, when he's ready to pull the family that he's been looking for and gather them all up to him. The final place. Amen. That's what that power is there for. It's to keep and protect you. And as long as you're walking by faith in Christ, that power is protecting you. You may not feel it. You may not sense it. You may not be aware of it. But that power is protecting you. It's all around you, there to protect and carry you through to that into that salvation that's to be revealed in the last times. And all you got to do is believe. Stick with your faith. Stick with your faith. Amen. Stick with your faith. Now, and the final thing that the power does for it, in a general sense, and I know I've used Ephesians 3 here. I might use it again. We'll see. Because this verse, it says a lot. And sometimes, you know, I have to focus on a specific aspect of it. But in a general sense, it can do what we ask or think. In a general sense, that power is able to do what we ask or think. Verse Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do." The word "able" is the word dunamai, which means to be able or possible, and it's a variation on the word dunamis, but it means to be able or possible. And to do is the word poieo, which means to make or do. There it defines it as to make, to do, to perform. Now to him who is able to do, to make, or to perform exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ask or think. Ask or think. And the word "ask" there means to ask in general. It's the word "aiteo." And to think is the word "noeo," which means to exercise the mind, to observe. Figuratively, to comprehend, to heed. Are you listening? So in a general sense, that power is at work in us. It's at work in us. And it's according to the power that works in us, you know, which I already talked about this. You know, the word "works," there's the word energio, which is energized and active in us. According to the power that works in us. And like I said, I might talk about that some more later, but I've already talked about it. But the thing I want you to get is that power, you know, as you begin to fulfill and walk in all of these things above. And as you start walking in that power, as you start applying yourself into that, towards that power and walking in it, then in a general sense, that power becomes capable of doing what you ask or what you think. Now we know to ask in the name of Jesus, that's the authority. The power comes from the Holy Spirit who lives and abides in us. You know, he's living in us already. I mean, just so you guys kind of get an idea here, do you know that the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, if he abides in you, he gives life to your mortal body. He's the Holy Spirit inside of us is already giving life to our mortal body. Well, Pastor, how do I know? Why am I sick? Why do I struggle? It's because you don't put much expectation in that life. You don't have much faith in what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. See, it all works by faith, and we have to bring that out. We have to speak these things. We have to declare. We have to believe. More than anything, it starts with that believing aspect of it. And it's going to require you, guys, you know, it's going to require you to start thinking beyond what you think right now. You know, it was hard for me to believe God for my finances in my life. It was easy to believe God for my healing. I had already had some experience with that back when I was in college. I mean, I made a stand and Jesus healed me of something that was very severe. You know, and now, I mean, when I finally started finding out that God has given us things that we can live and walk in, you know, and that he meets my needs, that he takes care of us, he blesses us. It was really almost impossible for me to believe that. I had to start expanding my thinking out to begin to believe, in order to believe that God could do that for me. And you know, the word in Hebrews, it says, you know, that, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to look it up. Give me a second. It's Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, elpis, looked forward to, having that expectation. It's the substance. Faith is the substance of things that you expect. And if you don't expect God to keep his word, if you don't expect the promises to work for you, if you don't expect the things that Jesus did for you to work and manifest for you, if you don't expect that, it won't work. Your faith only rises as high as your expectation. It's the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, of expected, that you have confident expectations of. And how do you expand your hope? This is where you got to spend the time thinking differently. You got to get a hold of the word, and you got to dig into the word until you are convinced by God, convinced from the word of what God promises to do for us if we do our part, which is believe. If we set ourselves to believe these things. And as you do that and you start putting that confidence in it, you start putting that expectation in, your faith automatically begins to rise. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. People, we've got to expand, you know, what we ask and what we think. We've got to expand that. You know, we've got to, and the only way you do that is you take the whole concept of prayer and faith off the shelf and you start living it day by day. You start getting in the word. Father, how can I expand my expectation so that my faith works more effectively and it works easier? And it's, I don't get so jacked up and fearful and everything else when something happens. That my patience is strong. How do I get there? And it starts, you got to start by expanding what you believe and by what you think that God will do for you. You got to get in the word until the promises begin to change the way you think, begin to change what you expect from God. It's part of my daily scriptures. You know, you got Psalms 103, 2 through 5, you know, and it's talking about not forgetting any of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who forgives all your iniquities. There's not one sin that God won't forgive if you'll go to him. Remember, this was written in the Old Testament to unsaved, unregenerate people who did not have the Holy Spirit, who were not born again yet. And God was telling them, he'll forgive their sins. They just got to go to him. They gotta turn to him and let him forgive them. And it says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who heals all your diseases, all your diseases. Nothing's left out. And as I began to meditate on these things, it began to expand my thinking. It began to expand what I expected my faith to produce. Doesn't happen overnight. You can't just, in a moment of trial, you can't just run to the Bible and grab scriptures and then suddenly you got great faith. It doesn't work like that. You got to be doing it now. And that's why sometimes you guys have to come to us for help, for us to pray and believe God with you, because, you know, you're not prepared for what you're facing. But if you start doing these things, you'll be more than ready. You won't even need our help. You'll just say, no, devil, I'm blowing this out. You don't have the power. Body, you get in line in the name of Jesus. You live and not die. I curse cancer and command it to be pulled out by the roots and planted in the sea. Man, you start talking to your body like that, I guarantee you things will change. But you don't get there overnight. You don't get there emotionally. Emotional determination doesn't take the place of spiritual faith. Faith is of the heart, not of the emotions. But you have to know, you have to have this conviction, because faith is a conviction. It can't get into your heart until it gets through your brain. It's got to go through your head to get into your heart. And if you've got limits on your thinking, limits on your asking, limits on what you believe God can do or what you believe God can do for you, then you've got to break those limits. You got to break them. It's up to you. Amen. Praise God. Now, there are some very specific, necessary things required to put the power to God to work, the power of God to work. All right. And I'm going to get into these. And these are going to, I'm telling you right now, if you don't hear these with spiritual ears, they're going to slide right over your head and over your mind, and you're not going to get it. You're going to miss it. But if you get it, I guarantee you, these things will, you'll see some things begin to work on your behalf. Amen. Number one, I'm assuming all of you are in this boat, but I have to list this because this is part of it. Amen. Number one, you must be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit to access that power. If you've never been filled with the Holy, if you've been born again, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be hard for you to walk by faith and walk in the power, because the Holy Spirit was sent specifically. He has a ministry to help you in these things and to get you there. Well, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're yielded and you've said okay to His ministry. Because His ministry doesn't fit your intellect. It doesn't fit your reasoning. He does things that are contrary to reasoning. And if you have a problem with God, you know, needing you to walk outside your intellect and your reasoning, then it's going to be a problem. You know, like Jesus said and Paul said, Jews seek after a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They want some kind of wisdom to convince them of the truth. And Paul said, me, I preach Christ crucified. And he says, and you know what? And the power of God, because your faith should rest in the power of God, not in wisdom, not in signs or feelings. People have transferred the signs thing over to feelings. So it's not feelings, it's not signs, it's not intellect, it's power, it's reality. Amen. So Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, and then I'm going to jump to verse 8. All right, because Jesus says some things in the middle that are not relevant here. They're relevant, but they're not relevant here. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he told him, he said, go wait. Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, same thing. The difference is the baptism of the Holy Spirit is more like the initiation of you receiving the Holy Spirit's ministry, His supernatural ministry into your life. That's like the initiation of that. And so He comes in and He comes upon you and He goes in you. You know, one of the signs is, you know, speaking in tongues. The other one is could be prophecy. Amen. Because they kind of did both of those in the early days. But you know, that's the Holy Spirit. And then being filled with the Spirit became the whole goal, based on Ephesians, of being filled. Be filled. Do not be filled with, you know, excess with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're called to live our lives being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you live your life being filled with the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, you already have an abundance of power available to you. If you're not experiencing that power, it's because you haven't expanded your thinking yet. You haven't expanded your expectation yet. You haven't expanded your faith yet to include that, to be able to put confidence that when you speak, that when you do what you do in faith, that the things of God will move. Just like it's set up there. You know, this is what that power does for us, it causes the work of faith with power to fulfill the work of faith with power. God wants to fulfill the work of your faith with power. He doesn't want it to be lame. He doesn't want you just barely sliding through. He wants you boldly, strongly, powerfully stepping over the finish line. Amen. So the first thing is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So part of that baptism is the Holy Spirit coming upon us. Now, when the power becomes really manifested, okay, when the power begins to really manifest in your life, where you begin to walk in some of the tangibility of it, that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's not just inside you, but he comes upon your flesh. And when that happens, that power is right there. It's much more tangible. You know, you can call it the anointing, you can call it the power of God, you can call it the unction, whatever you call it, doesn't matter. It's the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and it's that physical interaction of the Holy Spirit with you that's causing that power to become available. Amen? And understand, power, that power, part of how that power works is the Holy Spirit and you becoming active with each other. Amen. As you two become active with each other, then guess what? Power begins to generate from that. It's like, you know, I don't know if you know this, but just to generate a current, you know, you have a generator that generates a current, and all that generator is two magnetic fields that are in opposition of each other, that when you start spinning through it, it starts pushing current out, because you're generating power by the breaking of those magnetic fields. And I mean, that's why when you talk about, you know, motors, 60 hertz, that's 60 times a second that motor is spinning. And every time it crosses, every time it breaks, and it's doing it 60 times a second, that thing is generating power. We call it electricity, you know, and it comes in volts and watts and amps and so on. And if you mess with it, it can kill you. But if you use it correctly, you can light your house, you can cool your house, you know, you can run your computer, you can do all kinds of wonderful things. Amen. But it's the same with you and the Holy Spirit. You need to have the activity of the Holy Spirit going on in you. And as you do that, power begins to generate within you. Amen? And it doesn't have to be upon you. I mean, it's just when it comes upon you, then there's a tendency to experience more of that manifested power or that tangible power. But it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be upon you. You could be doing the things necessary, and inside you could be generating power and walking in power. And you got to understand, you're like a generator. The more you do these activities, the more you do the things that cause that power to flow, the more you do that, the more saturated you become, the more that becomes available. You go to lay hands on somebody, and they're going to get healed right then and there. Or if they don't, it's going to come really quickly. They'll recover really fast. And you're going to start having some experiences of that power. Your hands will heat up. You'll experience, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there's different ways that this manifests, but it's not based on feeling. That power is based on what you're doing between you and the Holy Spirit and you and God. That power is in the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So we know it's the power of God, but it's the Holy Spirit. And of course, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's God inside you. And the more active God inside you becomes in you, the more active that power becomes. And of course, the word receive power there is the word lambano. You take it, you know, and it's objectively, you get a hold of it. And power, again, is that word dunamis. It's force. And probably, to be honest with you, the best word for the word dunamis is actually force. It's probably the best word, because when you look at power here in the physical realm, there are four main forces in the universe. You have electromagnetism is one force, and that's where you get light from, you get electricity, you get all these things that you're used to. You have gravity, which is another force, and then you have the strong nuclear force, where we get atomic, you know, bombs and all that kind of stuff. And you have weak nuclear force. Now, strong nuclear force is what holds all of this together. It's what holds the atoms together. That's strong nuclear force. Without that, this whole universe would just disintegrate into a bunch of individual particles. And then, of course, you have the weak nuclear force. I don't want to get into a science lesson, but you understand what I'm saying. They're forces. Forces. God's power is a force. And when that force goes into action, it does what it's sent to do. It converts what it's sent to convert. It converts a sick body to a healthy body. It converts a lack in your life to something supplied. It converts, all right? It converts, you know, depression to joy, antagonism to peace. I mean, it works in massive, powerful ways, but it's used to convert. Amen. And of course, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Amen. Now, I've already kind of got into some things that I was going to share with you after this, but you know, it's got us going in a good way. You need the Holy Spirit to walk in this power. All right. Now, the hearing of faith. So you must be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit to access that power. To put that power to good work, it requires the hearing of faith. And I'm saying it like this because you got to understand that it isn't what you think you're saying. It isn't what you think you're saying or whether you think, you know, how you're saying it is right. It's what God's hearing. This is the determination. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? That's that word lamano again. Did you get a hold of the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So somewhere down the line, when you prayed and accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that was your faith in action. You got born again through that. And then when you received the Holy Spirit, you prayed, Father, I want the Holy Spirit. I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you say it in faith, God hears that faith. He hears faith. This is the problem with the world. People is like, why isn't God hearing me? It's because God hears faith. He knows what everybody's going through, but he can't move on their behalf until he hears faith. And when he hears faith, he can move instantly, but he needs to hear faith. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect in the flesh? This is the biggest problem with the body of Christ. We get born again. We get filled with the Spirit. We're walking with God. And, you know, we start walking with God. We start off in faith. And then all of a sudden, it all becomes about good works, or it becomes about, you know, making sure we're doing, you know, that we're acting and behaving perfectly so that God can smile down on us. So we lose out of that faith. We start moving away from faith and more towards works. And you can always tell when you're moving more towards works because fear starts setting in a lot easier for you. Something wrong happens, and all of a sudden there's fear. And you're like wondering, okay, what did I do? What did I do wrong? That's because you're starting to base your walk with God on whether or not you're being perfect, whether or not you're doing everything that he tells you to do. Honey, we're never going to be able to do everything God tells us to do. If we can get any of it done, God's going to be pleased with us. The more we get done, the more fruit we have, the better off we'll be. But just like Paul talked about married people, he said, you know, it's better not to be married because you can give your full attention to God. But if you're married, you're split. You're giving half your attention to God and half your attention to your mate. Does that mean that it's a sin to get married? No. Does that mean that God isn't behind marriage? No. God understands the division of that attention. Amen. He understands that. But understand this, that if you start moving towards, you know, the works of the law, it's going to affect your faith. That's what Paul's getting at here. He said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, verse 5, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Now, the word supplies there is, again, that word epikouragio, which means to furnish besides, to fully supply, to aid or contribute. He who fully supplies the Spirit to you. Look at how he ties the Spirit with power. And then works miracles. And the word works there is the word energio again. It's not the word ergon. It's not something you do physical. God activates and makes active and efficient. You know, the word energio comes from the word energies, which means it means active or operative. And makes operative miracles among you is what it's saying there. There it defines it as to be operative, to be at work, to put forth power to effect. He who supplies the Spirit to you and effects miracles among you, puts forth power for miracles among you. And again, the word miracles there is the word dunamis, force, miraculous power, usually by implication of miracle itself. Power to perform miracles, that's there. Does he do this by the works of the law? Does he do it by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? The word by there is the word ek, which means from or out of. And you know, it's funny because by the hearing of faith, it's kind of okay linguistically or language-wise. But when you put from or out of, does he do it by the works of the law or from the hearing of faith? Does he do it by the works of the law? And it's the same word ek there, from the works of the law or out of the hearing of faith. God does these things from or by or out of the hearing of faith. And the word hearing there is actually the word akoe, and it means hearing, whether it's the act, the sense, or the thing heard. In other words, God's got to hear faith. It's not your words that has power with God. It's not how great a prayer you can pray. It's the words of faith coming out of your mouth. He's got to hear faith. And the word faith, there's the word pistis, and this will start making sense to you now, all right? That word faith, there's the word pistis, it means persuasion. God's got to hear your conviction, your persuasion of the truth of what he's promised you. You got to hear that. He's got to hear that moral conviction. He's got to hear you speak it on a level of that it's absolutely without question in your mind, this is what you're convinced of. That when you pray, God hears and it is done. And because of that, he hears your faith and his power goes to work and it does the miracles. But he's got to hear faith. And I'm putting it on that level instead of saying you got to speak faith. That's not the case. It's what's really going on here is God's got to hear the faith. The moment God hears faith, the power goes to work. He works miracles among you. He supplies the Spirit to you on the hearing of faith, by the hearing of faith. Once he hears faith, it goes to work automatically. Amen. Now Jesus verifies this, you know, that it's the words that are spoken in faith that produce the results. And in Mark 11, 22 and 23, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do you get that? He who believes, he who has faith, pistiou, he who has faith, he who can trust God with it, he who is there defines it as to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, to place confidence in. If you have confidence in God and confidence in him hearing your prayer, you're not going to be afraid. Amen? Jesus affirms this. Word spoken in faith. He who believes. And look at what Jesus says. It's not just the words you say here. Look what Jesus says. He says, but believes that those things he says will be done. Genomai, to cause to be, to become or come into being. But believes. This guy who believes that those things he says will be done, will come to pass, will become. he will have whatever he says. And the will have there actually isn't, the Greek is isomai. And it actually says that he who believes that those things he says will become, whatever he says will be. It will be. It just says that. It will be. Whatever he says will become, it will be. But notice, even Jesus puts it on the level of believing. And that's why he says, have faith in God at the beginning, is because, you know, it's not just about believing in ourselves. I mean, it's because of our faith in God and what he's done for us. And so if I'm going to do this God's way, I've got to put my faith in what I've said, that it'll come to pass, and then I'll have what I say. So you got to put much more time in believing. If you want strong faith, you got to put the time in believing. And you got to believe that what you say. I mean, you don't know how many times when I pray a prayer, I stop at the end of that and I go, I believe that what I just prayed will be. Now, God, I believe that. I believe what I just prayed. I believe that what I just prayed will come to pass. And man, I tell you, when I pray for you guys, I do that too. And I don't say it out loud. It's inside of me. Father, I believe that what I've prayed will come to pass. In the name of Jesus. Jesus is our authority. He gives us the basis to be able to even pray these things. He gives us the right to pray these things. And of course, we come back here in Ephesians 3:20. And it says, that power must be working in you. And this is, I'm not probably going to be able to get into this, but I'll make it this far. It's according to the power that's at work in us. This power has got to be working in us. Amen. The literal Greek there actually says, according to the power working in us. It's the power working in us. Amen. And praying in the Holy Spirit is going to be the key to this, guys. You know, I'm just going to kind of highlight this because I'm out of time and this is the end of it. But you got to spend time praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Amen. When you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You know? And this is all referring to the Holy Spirit. It's all tied back to the Holy Spirit. You need to spend time with the Holy Spirit. You pray in tongues. That's one way you do it just all the time. And then the other way you do, you spend time worshiping God. You spend time letting the Holy Spirit speak to you and minister to you and interact with you. And the more those interactions take place, people, the more that happens, the more that power can begin to, you know, because it's like that generator. You know, you and the Holy Spirit are interacting. And as you're interacting, power is being transferred from him to you. And I got into that pretty much in depth. This was just about that power needs to be active in you, because it's according to the power that's active in us, people. God has put a responsibility on us. If we want to walk in that power, we've got to do these things. He's got to hear faith, man. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got to be praying in the Spirit. We've got to build ourselves up in the Spirit. And as you do that, then that power becomes active and operative on the inside of you, ready for work. You become like a giant battery. Amen? Praise God. I hope you guys got it. Amen. Glory to God.